Do you know, if Mr. Toad had ever encountered a selfish 18, he would never have declared, "There's nothing so much worth doing as messing about on the river." Instead, he would soon have discovered you can get even more enjoyment just from watching others messing things up. The Sailfish East Coast Rally is without doubt the highlight of the social season. If you doubt me, just ask yourself why Wimbledon and Henley never clash with it. Enough said, I think. While Wimbledon and Henley consume mountains of strawberries, the build-up to Sailfish Week sees biscuit factories crank up output of custard creams, Garibaldis, lemon puffs, bourbons, and other 1970s-style fancies that are the staples of Sailfish society dues. Now, last August, I managed to persuade the Sailfish fraternity to come and play in my own backyard on the River Blackwater, which was a masterstroke on several counts. First, it meant I didn't have to trail my boat, which is something that terrifies me even more than sailing. Second, it spares PBO readers yet another epic account of how I heroically sailed, single-handedly, all by myself and alone, for several miles in broad daylight to meet up with the rally. And third, it gave me a front row seat for one of sailing's greatest spectator sports, the launching of the Sailfishes. Actually, I think the correct word is dunking. Now, the thing you have to know about launching Sailfishes is that there's no correct way of doing it, although every Sailfish owner has their own patent-applied-for method, which is better than everybody else's. In other words, no one really knows how to do it, but will helpfully point out what you've done wrong once you've done it. Now, Bradwell Marina have thoughtfully provided a special bench where you can view this spectacle, and me and Bart, that's my dog, my Jack Russell Terrier that I think you all know well, settled down with a complimentary custard cream and the first cup of tea of the week. Sailfish gatherings are notorious for the dangerous amounts of tea consumed. First up was Bob from Dudley to set the standard. When he made his et voila gesture, his Sailfish was supposed to gracefully float free from its trailer. Except it didn't. His solution was to drive forward a metre or two, reverse, and then hit the brake sharply. Et voila! The Sailfish scudded off the trailer, and voila, it kept going, with no one aboard. A trailer, a painter, trailing limply from its bow. Fortunately for Bob, as we were earnestly quizzing him about the purpose of the limp painter, a couple of lads were just leaving the pontoon for a fishing trip. Unfortunately for Bob, their boat was powered by a pair of Jurassic Seagull outboards, which to most prudent sailors is bordering on recklessness, as it's well known that you need at least 5 seagulls for any serious seagoing enterprise. That's 2 for breaking down, that's 2 for breaking up for spares, and 1 for decoration. Plus, of course, something Japanese to get you home. Still, they gamely gave chase, but as soon as their boat was pointing the right way, the first seagull spluttered and died. As they yanked at the second one, Bob Sailfish neatly moored herself in a Sailfish-sized gap on the far pontoon to a round of generous applause. Sailfishes are often commended for being able to sail themselves, and some say they do it much better without people involved. Anyway, during Bob's demonstration, I'd added a Garibaldi and a Jammy Dodger to the earlier custard cream, as the samovars aboard the shoreside Sailfishes provided a steady stream of tan-coloured cuppers for the growing throng. It was clear Bob would be a hard act to follow, but we had faith in Paul, and he didn't let us down. The dunking part of the launch was fairly routine, but once he fired up his outboard, the entertainment was top-notch. He'd forgotten to lower his keel, which left the Sailfish with all the directional stability of a drunk one-eyed mosquito with the patch on the wrong eye. As he buzzed around, berth holders ran to and fro, ready to fend off, while Sailfish brethren tried to grab him as he pirouetted by like a dodgem on a skid pan. That called for lemon puffs and more tea all round. By now the crowd was bigger than one at a Leighton Orient home game. That's at least 23 if you count both teams. Dymo Bob from Rutland Water is a wee bit racy and performance-orientated, which makes you wonder why he's got a Sailfish at all. All he'd say as he assembled his Sailfish is, "I can't talk now. 22 minutes, 32 seconds. This was his all-time drive-up to Floataway record, and he was determined to beat it. He even declined a Viennese whirl. He launched with seconds to spare, jumped aboard, fired up the outboard, headed off, and conked out. No amount of pulling on the cord would get the engine going again. This was on account of there being no petrol in the tank, which was a rare and very enjoyable oversight, particularly as Bob is normally very exact in everything he does and uses a spirit level to line up the dymo label tape messages that run every aspect of his world. Pity he didn't have one that said, "Empty, we tittered." Shoreside, as we broke open the Bourbons, there was a considerable debate as to whether Bob's new record should stand, and that called for another cup of tea and a Battenberg slice. Oh, what crazy hedonism! This was going to be one wild, selfish week.